This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio broadcast of The Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Steve Kramer will be conducting today's service. Information on ordering a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon will follow the program. Please come back to this station at this time every week for worship with us.
Some days life can be tough, and we find ourselves feeling very much alone. But God's word tells us that nothing could be further from the truth. I invite you to listen in. Lord, you are our help, and your presence is our strength. Yet you know that sometimes we live as if we're on our own, alone. Forgive us, Lord. Let this worship be a time in which we remember your steadfast love and faithfulness through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied.
I love the old hymns. Some of them have such power to lift my spirit when I'm down and give me a new perspective for keeping on. Today, I want to share with you a really old hymn that has ministered to many souls over the centuries, and it can minister to your soul as well when life is beating you up. Would you turn to Psalm 46 in your Bible, please? And let's have a look at this old song. It was part of the hymn book for the old Church of Israel. It breaks up into three stanzas, each one punctuated by the word Selah. Let's take a look at verse 1, stanza 1, which describes God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Selah. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, he writes. Our refuge. Who's our? The people of God who have been touched by his grace. The word refuge isn't something that we typically use much in our everyday conversation. We sometimes picture something like a wildlife refuge, I suppose, to protect animals. But there are some pictures that come to mind as well when we begin to look at what refuge means. Refuge is like a women's shelter, a safe place for women who are abused with their children to go when they can't take it anymore at home. They seek safety in a refuge like that. We think of a bathtub in a home's basement. I live in tornado country. They tell us that when a tornado is headed in our direction, to head to the basement. And the safest place down there is to get into your bathtub and cover yourself for refuge. In the old days, settlers would sometimes build communities around a fort. And when the enemy was about to attack, the alarm would ring and the people around the area would run behind the walls of that fort for protection and safety from the enemy. That's refuge, a safe place to go for protection, a strength. I'm reminded of someone who says, I'm so glad that you're with me. You've been such a strength for me during this hard time. And then God is also a very present help in trouble, the writer says. That word trouble means in a tight spot, surrounded on all sides, between a rock and a hard place with no way out. God is our safe place, our protective place to run, our available strength to stand with us when times are troublesome. He says, therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in its sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains tremble with its tumult, we're not going to be afraid, he writes, even though everything seems to be out of control and falling apart. That could be what he's getting at when he describes the mountains shaking and waters roaring, but if you poke around the Old Testament a little bit, you'll find that oftentimes this was the kind of language that was used when Israel was under attack by an enemy, as the armies were marching towards the city of Jerusalem, like a roar of the ocean. It could be this particular family of God at this point in time is under attack. The second stanza, which begins at verse 4 and ends at verse 7, tells us why they need not fear, because God is with them. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter. God utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's a river. What is that river about? Again, if you look in other places around the Old Testament, the river oftentimes is a way of talking about the very presence of God. In Psalm 36, the writer shares that the people feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is a fountain of life. The prophet Ezekiel talked about the river flowing from the throne of God in Ezekiel chapter 47. And our writer goes on to say, God is in the midst of the holy city, Jerusalem, and it shall not be moved. There's security there in the presence of God. And a promise, or at least a belief in something here, when he says, God will help it when the morning dawns. Finally, in verses 6 and 7, we have an interesting picture here, especially in verse 6. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. God utters his voice. The earth melts. We have something going on here. There's a battle of sorts. The nations are raging against God's people. Kingdoms are on the verge of falling apart. God simply utters his voice, and with a word, the earth melts. We see the power of God's word. And then this wonderful refrain at the end of the verse, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. With the Lord of hosts, we're talking about the God who has this heavenly host, an army of sorts. They're with us. The God of Jacob is the God of Israel. The God revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Finally, the third stanza of this song. Not only is the picture of God as a refuge given, and that the fact that God is with them, but now he moves on to the third verse. In verses 8 through 11, it describes that God is also at work. Look at God's powerful work, he says. Verse 8. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, the desolations. To behold something is to gain upon it, not just glance at it, but to gaze upon it, examine it. The desolations, we have a picture of something being laid to waste. What's being laid to waste? In verse 9, we're told what it is. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the shields with fire. It's the end of a battle. It's the aftermath of a fight. And God is victorious. Some scholars actually think that behind these lines in this particular psalm is a story that might be related to it from 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19, where Hezekiah, the king of Israel, is surrounded by the Assyrian army at Jerusalem and told to either surrender or be demolished. And a letter is sent to him from Sennacherib, the head of that Assyrian army, telling him to give up and that God can't help him. And Hezekiah takes this letter to the temple and lies prostrate on the ground before God and reads him the letter and says, God, we need your help. The next morning, when the sun was dawning, and Hezekiah looked out over the walls of Jerusalem into the fields where the Assyrian armies had been, what he saw was desolation. The armies of Sennacherib were destroyed. And Sennacherib was on retreat. God is the warrior who fights for us, the writer says. Verse 10, listen to God's command to the enemies. Be still. Stop striving against me. And acknowledge me as God. I'm exalted above the earth. I am the one and the only God among the nations. And then that great refrain again, a repeat. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This hymn has been handed down for us to minister to our souls. The song was transposed for us into a new key with the arrival of Jesus at first Christmas, as God announced to Joseph and to Mary, you'll name him Jesus and you'll know him as Emmanuel, God with us. He stepped into our world and did battle with the power of sin and death and the power of the devil. He staked his claim upon this creation. And on the cross, he experienced exactly the opposite of this psalm as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he breathed his last. He experienced the forsakenness of God so that we would not have to, so that we could proclaim with the songwriter, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. On the third day, God raised him and listened to Emmanuel's promise to his disciples. Lo, I am with you always to the end of time. He's with us. Why? To be our refuge as we withstand attacks. Attacks? What do you mean attacks, you might be wondering? Attacks by who? Attacks by our enemy. Martin Luther wrote a hymn taken from this particular psalm and reminds us of an enemy. A mighty fortress is our God, a sword and shield victorious. He breaks the cruel oppressor's rod and wins salvation glorious. The old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe. With craft and dreadful might, he arms himself to fight. On earth is not his equal. Peter wrote to some friends in the New Testament, like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We have an enemy. People sometimes ask me, Steve, do you really believe in a personal devil? And my response is, absolutely. Absolutely. Greater minds than mine have reminded us of the presence, and I've seen his footprints in the devastated lives of many. One of Satan's tools that he uses to destroy us and wreck our life with God is a thing called adversity. Bad things happen to God's people sometimes, troubles. For instance, in other parts of the world, God's people are getting beaten up all around the globe, persecuted, martyred for the sake of the kingdom. In the Congo, I read recently of the atrocities being exercised against the Christian community there, trying to silence the Christian voice. But even in the Western world, the church is sometimes finding itself subtly silenced, even attacked, to the point of being afraid to speak up in this society for fear of being labeled narrow and intolerant. And sometimes when bad things happen to us that shake us at our foundations, individually and as a church, the voice of Satan whispers, Are you sure that this God you follow is worth believing in? In America, sometimes I think the attacks more typically come in subtle ways. They're more insidious. They're a little more inviting. For instance, you're in a motel room alone and the TV sits there with an advertisement sitting on top for adult channels, adult movies, and there's a promise attached that no one will ever know you've watched it because we won't list this movie on your motel bill. And the voice whispers, go ahead. Who's it gonna hurt? You're an adult. Or say you're with a companion from church one day who asks you about someone who you are not on friendly terms with. The person that they've asked you about has hurt you in some way. Suddenly the door is open to run that person down that's hurt you and perhaps gain another ally. And a voice goes off in the back of your head which invites you, go ahead, revenge is really sweet. This person deserves it. You've had a regretful past, but now you're a Christian. You've heard the absolution again and again that your sins are forgiven, but late at night, every once in a while, when you're alone, old memories begin to creep back into your mind, and a condemning voice says, you are such a fraud. You're kidding yourself. There are limits to God's forgiveness. How can you possibly believe God can forgive you after all you've done? And then there's his most effective tool of all, our prosperity. A friend of mine wrote, Satan does not operate publicly as an evil character. He does not walk around with a large poster across his chest saying, I am Satan, let me teach you how to sin, to do bad things. He operates instead as an angel of light with a pleasant smile on his face. He invites participation in his way of life with this, come. Let me teach you how to live life to the fullest. Nothing lacking in respectability, of course. Nothing that will get you into trouble with the law. But you owe it to yourself. You're number one. Don't you want to make it to the top and enjoy all the material things success can make available to you? The Bible says little about Satan's appearance. It says much about his footprints across people's lives. It is not necessary for Satan to persuade people to lead openly wicked lives. He need only persuade them to lead useless lives, hoarding everything for self. After all, you deserve it. You're number one. And those kind of attacks go on and on until the final day when Christ will reappear. But we know in the meantime that in Scripture it says there's never a promise from God of being exempt from these kinds of attacks. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul writing to a church that's concerned about getting beaten up by the world, under attack. He writes, I'm convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Dear friends, it's true. Trials, tribulations, attacks will come. This song reminds us to take comfort and be of good courage, for the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Turn to Him. Amen. As you go on your way, may Christ Emmanuel go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon will bring you joy and inspiration to your life in the week ahead. Many listeners have found it convenient to join our GEM, or Gift Every Month, club. GEM Club donors give a regular gift each month to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to listeners who are sick or homebound. For your convenience, you can have your contribution taken directly from your Visa or MasterCard each month. If you'd like to find out more about becoming a GEM Club member, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We thank all our listeners who have supported us with their gifts and prayers. Whether GEM Club members or not, all of you are true treasures. We welcome your comments on our program. Please never hesitate to drop us a line and let us know how we are doing. You can write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You can also contact us on the web at christiancrusaders.org. For a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's sermon was our associate speaker, the Reverend Steve Kramer, senior pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting the gospel continuously for nearly 73 years.